Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's Mike Shope.
Hey, put a little... I never get this line out the first time. It's not even good. Hey, put a little bit more in there, cowboy.
And the bulldog.
What's your degree in?
Kicking ass and taking names.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Couple of true professionals right there. Bulldog, I think you would say this about me. I would say it about me. I am a staunch, devoted draft grade the day after the draft defender.
Mm-hmm.
Because when else would you do it?
We got to wait 2 years. Great.
You want to grade the 2020 draft
what
today?
What fun is that?
What actual brain power would it take? Oh, this player was good. A, bam. Great pick. No, there's a lot more that goes into it to do it well. Mike Tenier would know. He does it well. His AFC draft performance assessments are up. You can check that out at his Substack. And the Bills, Mike, a B. Did you feel, was that, I don't know, is that generous as you think about it? Or is that, you want to analyze it, lay it all out, you come up with a grade. Why don't I just ask you the obvious question? Why B?
Did you just give him a B because he didn't want Bill's Mafia to attack you? Like, yeah. What was your motivation, Mike?
There it is.
That's sometimes part of it. Sometimes it's like, do I want the smoke on the internet? And, you know, what you see if you look at my draft grades at miketenier.substack.com, you'll find I have them broken down into three subcategories, like did the team use its resources well, like was it smart about trading up, trading down, getting an extra pick, et cetera. You know, a team with two first-round picks should get an A, but what if they pick, you know, two dumb guys? Well, they still pick better guys than they had before the draft, so, you know, how do you do that? For the Bills, I was trending towards I don't like what they did in the first round, trading down, letting other teams take receivers that I thought would have helped them. Then they took Keon Coleman, who was not my favorite receiver in this draft. Then it gets better a little bit later on when you get some of the guys in the second round, third round, when you realize they moved up to get some better players by trading down. Some of the guys I see a little later on, I see what they're doing here. So it's a mixed bag. And when in doubt with a mixed bag, give them a B, go on to the next team.
mixed bag equates to a B. I gotcha.
Yeah.
On Coleman, Mike, like what is it exactly? I mean, obviously there are pros there. He wasn't my favorite idea either. If we talked back in the winter or even in the fall while I was watching college football, he jumped off the TV screen every time I watched him play. I'm like, boy, I'd love the Bills to get their hands on this guy. And then, you know, you go through the process and read a lot of scouting reports and the combine and all the stuff, and it's like, oh, maybe this isn't the best idea. Where do you come down on him in this Bills offense?
Well, you know what? I start with you. Like, I'd be watching him in the games, and I, like, watch the cut-ups, and, like, you know, he's got a lot of good things, but he's not real fast. And then he runs a real slow 40 at the combine. I'm like, if he's that unfast, that's a problem. That's the speed level where you can get open, you know, in college because of the way the game is structured and because some of the guys just aren't that good and you can't get open at the NFL level. So when you watch him, you see somebody who's like a crafty route runner who will, you know, kind of run at different speeds, do little head fakes, work the middle, get open. He's the guy who's quarterback. Jordan Travis scrambled a lot. So at the end of the scramble, he's the guy working back to get the ball. And you love that stuff, you know, on Saturday afternoon. And you do love that stuff a little bit when you're in a scouting room and you're saying, well, Josh Allen scrambles. We need a guy who's going to be smart and alert and find the place to get the ball and then turn upfield. The other thing you see is that Coleman doesn't always catch the ball super clean. If it's a little behind him, a little above him, a little low, he doesn't always make the catch. If it's contested, sometimes he lets a smaller defender get that ball away from him, and that's another side of his game where I said late second round, third round for this guy. So, you know, I look at the offense, and I can see, well, you know, he can work the middle. He'll get open. I wanted to see the guy. I don't know if you can, you know, replace Stephon Diggs. I wanted to see the guy who I could imagine replacing Stephon Diggs. And, yeah, I could see Xavier Worthy doing that a little bit. I could see Adonai Mitchell, if his head is screwed on, doing those things. I don't see Keon Coleman doing those kind of things.
As we've been kind of putting it, you might be seeing the guy who can replace Gabriel Davis, you know, which,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, although it's a different type of guy, because Davis, I think, you know, more speed, et cetera. But Davis worked the middle, too. Working that middle is a big part of what you're going to get from Coleman.
You know, Mike, thinking about your background, and I'm somebody, I consider myself kind of a disciple from reading Aaron and talking to Aaron so many times, Aaron Schatz, and like, you know, it's not, I don't want to say I would want to trade down in every single situation, but it feels like that I'm on the smart side when a team is doing this kind of thing. But like you, I'm a little bit left wanting by the player. And you wrote, interestingly, how you feel like maybe the Bills missed by not making the big move up. If I'm not twisting your words, how would that have gone over for you had they moved like to 9 or something, as there was some speculation about?
If they move to 9, they get like a Dunze. I'm like, this is serious. You know, that was he's the guy that you could have gotten up. I don't think you could have gotten up to Neighbors. Harrison would have been a pipe dream. But you get to that level and you say, well, we traded a first-round pick next year. But, look, you know, we're within a field goal of the Super Bowl. We have to kind of make these bold moves. The Bills are a team that can justify that. Some teams, when they trade up, it's like you need every pick you can get. For the Bills, it's like you need one or two more guys right now to fit in around Josh Allen and make another run. So that was the situation. I didn't love that. And maybe if they didn't trade up, okay, and maybe they don't like Worthy and maybe they don't like Mitchell. And then I look at a guy like Xavier Leggett in South Carolina, who I think that's like a better version of Coleman. If you want a guy who's working the middle, this is a guy who makes more contested catches more smoothly. He's even more of a Debo-like after the catch. Why are you letting another team take that guy to get another pick? And the flip side of that is, you know, I see Dwayne Carter, and I think that's who the Bills got with that Chiefs pick. Yep. And like, wow, that's a heck of a guy to say, well, we moved down three places. Look at this really active, you know, really, versatile defensive tackle to put in our rotation. That's why we did it. And then you can kind of see it more sensibly there.
Right. Cole Bishop is, I think, a pretty interesting selection at this time for the Bills, Mike, because obviously, you know, there's been a lot of tumult here. I mean, we focused so much on receiver leading up to the draft because of Davis and eventually Diggs departing. Yeah. But Hyde and Poyer, I guess the door is still open for Hyde, but we'll see about that. Poyer obviously is definitely gone, signed with Miami. And Cole Bishop, I mean, I don't know, our Sal Capaccio, who's as on top of this sort of stuff as anyone I think can be in one of these jobs where you're a beat writer or, you know, beat guy covering a team, has pointed out how they like veterans in those safety roles. But, man, Bishop athletically, you tell us. I mean, I don't want to lead you in here. I mean, I like the pick a lot. I'm curious what you think of it.
Yeah, I really do like it. I see him penciling in at free safety, and I think of him as a guy closer to the line of scrimmage. But then, you know, the Bills got Rapp for that. And I can see wanting veterans and saying, well, that's why we went out. We got Rapp, and then we got this guy Edwards and all. Bishop is going to play right away. And I would say he's a prospect who plays a little bit like a veteran. He is a little bit one of these older prospects that come out, had the extra COVID year. But he really recognizes what's in front of him very well. He very, very fast, triggers very quickly. He reminds me more of a Poyer than a Hyde. So, you know, I don't know if that's a situation where, well, he learns behind Rapp for a year and he plays in the sixth defensive back package, or if he starts, you know, rotating between the safeties, the positions. I don't know how that works, but it's a smart pick because you had this position of strength, I guess, for the last 5 years. Now you're in a position to continue for safety to be, you know, a diverse position where you can get a lot of different things out of it.
Something that I know they've said, and I think Brandon Bean even spoke to this after the Bishop pick on Friday, they like to use both Hyde and Poyer. I mean, they have the luxury of these two guys they trusted implicitly, but they're sort of interchangeable. Like, so there's not one that's in a traditional, you know, big box safety type. They like to do both things with both guys.
Right, that's true, and they do a lot more of that cover two mentality where, yeah, one can rotate down, the other can rotate down, the two of them can stay back there. And I think, you know, Bishop, I think, will be able to be somebody who does it all. I just love seeing him play around the line of scrimmage because he's a force against the run. He can pass rush a little bit, and he can do some of those fun things.
With Mike Tenier, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog on WGR. Just saying earlier on the show today, Mike, I feel like the conversation, partly because Bulldog and I are kind of in different places on this, or have been, that we'll be having the most about the Bills this offseason from here is whether there's a real change philosophically about from them offensively. Mm-hmm. And I think it's logical to think that there is, and that we saw it when they changed coordinators midseason. They went more run heavy from there, much more. Mm-hmm. And won doing it, you know, not ultimately, but they went on a roll. So that plus this draft, you know, this offseason, trading Diggs and not having, like, Ayuk done already or something, makes me think that maybe this team, we've seen the trends in the league, too. All the too high safety stuff, which has sort of forced that on teams like Buffalo. I don't know, do you feel me here that maybe you wouldn't be surprised? Here I am loading a question for you now.
Yeah. I would love... Because, you know, 2 years ago, like, we could see a little bit less bombing from Josh Allen. That'd be lovely. On third and one, maybe we shouldn't be throwing that bomb, that kind of thing. Like, you're up by 10, 14 points, and you're throwing an interception downfield. Like, why aren't we running and just, you know, taking care of the ball here? And then last year at the end, during that winning streak, it's like, gosh, maybe you guys should open this up a little bit more. I mean, it's great that you're winning by these lower scoring games and all, but you guys should be beating some of these teams by 2 touchdowns, 3 touchdowns. So it's like a Goldilocks zone. I guess I would like to see who the vertical guy really is, because at some point you want somebody going downfield, stretching the field vertically and saying, Allen has the opportunity to throw his moon ball. And I don't think Keon Coleman's that guy. Shakir strikes me more as a slot guy. Samuel is more of an underneath guy to me. Matt Collins is just a guy. I mean, he's fast, but it's like straight line deep. He's not like that threat. If that's the philosophy and say it's more ground and pound, there's maybe some more options in there for Allen to run, and there's more short passing, you still want one guy going vertical. I want to know who that's going to be.
Yeah, we do too.
I wonder if maybe that guy's not on the roster. I mean, it's not, Curtis Samuel was a fast player coming out, but it's 7-8 years ago now.
He's like a quick guy now. I think him is like quick. He's going to like the out route and things like that.
Yeah. Anything else jump out at you? I feel like getting a center in the fifth round who played every game for a powerhouse like Georgia in that league is maybe a pretty savvy move.
Right, and that's good that you're getting guys late. There's two philosophies late, and I didn't do a lot of research on, like, the 6th, 7th round guys, I'll tell you. But there's two philosophies. One, you get the super safe guy, and the worst, you got your backup center guard. And the other is to kind of get the guy with the 4-2 speed from the Division III school with 7 arrests or whatever. The Bills didn't do a lot of that, like that maybe gamble on greatness type of thing. But, you know, yeah, you get a center late in the draft. You get an extra cornerback in Daquan Hardy. He's from a big program. I don't know that much about him. Ray Davis is a guy that I did look at a lot, and he's an interesting choice because he bounced around college football for a couple of different years. And by the time he's playing, I think he was 24 years old last year. But he looked like he was, you know, I don't know, Christian McCaffrey at Kentucky. Like he was that level of, like, impact player. You get him late, and again, if you're doing ground pound and he's a guy you're rotating in, that's somebody who can really add value for you as a guy coming off the bench.
That's a compliment, right? McCaffrey at Kentucky when you watched him?
It wasn't the right comp. I'm trying to think of somebody else who's a right. Running backs are so devalued right now that it's like hard to find the guy. He looked like Le'Veon Bell when Le'Veon Bell was good, kind of like that.
Okay. Do you think, I mean, we had, as was expected or predicted, you know, running backs pushed down in this draft. Nobody really liked the class that much. No suspense at all about whether anybody would go in round one. Yeah. Are teams ready to turn to day three running backs as if they are being counted on and not just like, you know, dart throws?
I think they don't mind them in the committee. What you saw this year, because people saw that this draft class wasn't that good, you saw the Eagles grabbing Barkley for a little extra money. You saw Tony Pollard signing, you know, for a little more than you might expect. You see Aaron Jones, you know, the Packers are done with him, and the Vikings snatch him up. Like in the past, these running backs who are veterans would sit around, wait for the phone to call, the phone to ring. And this year they were getting picked up. You know, Devin Singletary gets picked up again. That's teams saying, hey, we're probably going to get a running back in the 4th or 5th or 6th round. If he's not ready, We have Devin Singletary. We have Joe Mixon. They're going to run the right route when they're asked to run a pass route. They're going to go to the right hole. They're not going to fumble, the first time they're hit, et cetera. We have this insurance policy. I think it's going to wax and wane with running backs, but I think it's going to wax and wane between the second and fourth round, not between, like, the fourth and the sixth round from year to year.
So what stands out from the rest? Maybe focusing on the division. We get to the Chiefs, so the Bills traded with on Thursday, of course, like spooking some of us, me included. I'm sort of half inclined to hang up the phone anytime the Chiefs call me to ask me if I want to do anything with them. But I respect the business, and then the Bills got paid to let KC get a guy they probably would have gotten anyway. How about the division here? The Patriots, we both liked in here Javon Baker a lot on Saturday. They get him. They got Jalen Polk. And, of course, at the head of it here, it all hinges on Drake May. What did you think of New England's draft, Mike?
My problem with their draft and the receivers they picked the downfield guys with their speed that was like 4.52. The downfield guys would be great speed downfield guys in 1997 are now like a step or two slower than the Xavier Worthy types, et cetera. So I don't like what the Patriots did overall because I don't think they added the top talents. They added guys who played well in college, with the exception of May. May is a top talent at quarterback. And it seems too much like what they've been doing in recent years at all their positions. Like, they're trying to get these finished products, and they go on the field, and the Patriots have the slowest offense and no downfield threat and, no big, super slot guy who can, make 20 guys miss. They never have those guys. I don't think they have them now. I'd be worried about the Jets. Yep. And what the Jets did if you're worried about somebody in the division.
I am optimistic about what the Jets did this weekend, and it makes me feel icky and weird, wrote our guest Mike Tenier. I can appreciate that. Like, I think you also had a tweet. Maybe you weren't being asked this, or just you were, quote, tweeting someone else. Like, I would be talking about the Jets draft, but it's not interesting when it's good.
Right. I did that. Yeah, because it's like I have these 20 jokes ready whenever the Jets do something dumb, and I don't have any praise ready when they do something wrong. Oh, I should probably mention, that was really good. This team isn't they're not Team Rocket from Pokemon where they just do dumb stuff all the time. Sometimes they try hard and they do the right thing. And they, in the offseason, added all these, veteran offensive linemen. And then they bring in Olaf Ashanu, who's a great young left tackle, to bolster that line. So you're not going to have this Jets team that can't protect any of their quarterbacks this year like you did last year. They bring in Corley, who's like a super nifty, break 20 guys miss along the way, middle of the field guy. And that's great when you already have Garrett Wilson. You're not looking for a wide receiver one. You're looking two or three. Then they added a couple running backs, who's more like a thunder and lightning combination. So they're going to be able to do a lot of different things with Aaron Rodgers. They can protect him better now. They can let him hand off more. They can let him throw a screen short. They're not going to be reliant on him being a hero. I don't know how he feels about that, but we will cross that bridge when we come to it. And don't forget, the Jets' defense is still pretty amazing, so they can kind of downshift into second gear, kind of like the Bills did last year, and win a bunch of games if their offense isn't an active liability.
Just a couple of minutes left with you, Mike, here, if you don't mind. The Penix pick, Atlanta. I did not read what you wrote about that. Of course, the majority can't make sense of it. Or you can make sense of it, but it's still bad, I think. Maybe that's a better way to put it. What do you think?
Yeah, that's you can make sense of it. And I'll have Falcons fans like, you got to look at 2026. And I look at them like, you, a Falcons fan has been living in misery since 28-3. There's no way you're sitting there thinking, we have to look at the long game. You want something now. The Falcons want something now. Go win a playoff game. They haven't done that since 28-3. You've had like 7-9, 17 seasons, 10 seasons for years. They needed edge rushers. They got Kirk Cousins. They got Darnell Mooney. Get an edge rusher or two. Go win your division. Go show some success. When you bring in Michael Penix, I think it's just an example of an organization talking itself into something, losing sight of what its goals are, maybe having some friction inside where there's one person in the organization who said, we have to have a five-year plan, and you have somebody else saying, my God, we just spent $100 million on Kirk Cousins. There's no five-year. There's September, October, November. When you have that kind of confusion, that's what makes organizations bad. I think Bills fans remember that Bills fan organization was bad for many years. Falcons are making those kind of mistakes.
Running backs on top of running backs in the early rounds, the first round, the Bills, when it is tougher now, right? Would you say, like, the point about the Jets, like, fewer teams seem like, donkey sort of teams than maybe there used to be. But Atlanta comes around, the GM is talking about how it's actually good if in 4 or 5 years, Penix turns out. He's old already, by the way.
Right. He's almost 30 in 4 or 5 years.
That's just insane.
Right, that's it. And you're talking to a GM, and it's like, you probably won't be there if this fails. You know, you won't be there to see the fruits of your labor if Cousins has a bad year or two. The thing about the Falcons is there's a GM, and then there's a team president, McKay, above the GM, and then there's, you know, extra super secret GM running around, and Ryan Pace, the guy who ran the Bears for a couple of years. Their organization might be a little weird, and that might be contributing to some of these decisions.
I know we already touched on Drake May when we talked about New England, but overall, seeing as we're on Penix and what Atlanta did, how about the landing spots for the quarterbacks in general? Like, stack them here, like best to worst scenarios for these rookie QBs, Mike.
I'll go in order how they were drafted. Caleb Williams, let's start with, he's going to be throwing to DJ Moore, Roma Dunze, Keenan Allen, and Cole Kmet.
Pretty good.
Yeah, Brock Purdy would be like, oh my God, you've got good weapons with that. That's a great combination. The offensive line will be good enough. We'll see how that goes. I think Jaden Daniels has landed a really good spot with Washington. Washington didn't do anything really silly in the last year or so. Again, their owner's gone and their structure's different, which helps. He has some good weapons already in place there, adequate offensive line, veteran offensive line. That's a good situation. This is not what RG3 walked into 13 years ago, where it was like chaos all over in the Dan Snyder, Mike Shanahan era. That's a good situation. May, again, I don't think he has the weapons. I don't know. They drafted another quarterback, Joe Mixon. I think that's always a bad sign because these things tend to turn into dramas along the way. McCarthy's weird. For McCarthy, I want to see the Justin Jefferson extension done.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole. Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Comfortable that he'll have Jefferson, he'll have Hockenson, and this organization. That organization is not in disarray. I'm not 100% certain in that case. And Bo Nix, they have no talent there. They've got no talent in Denver. And I think Sean Payton's looking for his Drew Brees. And I don't know if anyone's Drew Brees. So I wish Bo Nix the best of luck. First thing he's got to do is he's got to outperform Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham in a quarterback competition. I think he can handle that.
That should be okay. That should be okay. Speaking of old rookies, Bo Nix. Okay, Mike, hopefully things are going well. Still love reading you at the Substack, and especially during the draft. Really a lot of interesting and fun and funny kind of takes. So great job, and thanks for your time, as always.
Thank you. Take care, and enjoy some off-season.
Oh, yes. Touch some grass season. Are we at that point? Maybe we are. I just was in the men's room before this segment started, and a co-worker's in there. He's like, the draft is finally over. I'm like, bite your tongue.
Right? Right.
How dare you so soon.
Taking a victory lap here.
Come on. Come on. Maybe we can make it last. We're certainly on it today. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll go back to the phones after the update. Sal joins us at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
It sounds like they're going to use him as their X receiver, which I don't love. I think Keon is best deployed off the line in the slot. I just think Keon Coleman's kind of a low percentage X receiver. He's a guy that's going to win jump balls. He's not going to get a lot of separation. He is not Gabe Davis, very different player. He's a better separator than Gabe Davis. He's a better player against zone coverage. He works the middle of the field much better, has much more consistent hands than Gabe Davis. But from a vertical presence standpoint, that's just sort of like I see some low percentage overlap there. But I guess that just means that they have a lot more confidence this year in Samuel and Khalil Shakir being your separators and your layup targets.
Matt Harmon, receptionperception.com. Well, everybody up here in the balcony thought if Marino was on the board, they'd pick Marino, but apparently the Jets know something we all up here don't. That's not fair. That's not fair, but that's what came to mind. All right, Keon Coleman, who was funny at the press conference talking about his coat.
Yes.
I like that.
And the cookies, too. I mean, he got something about some cookies, but the coat was good, yeah. When to shop.
Yeah.
You got to shop a season,
season
ahead.
Season or two ahead.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He's right.
The Bills drafted my mom, apparently.
That's awesome.
Pretty cool, yeah.
I'm glad he didn't ask me where I thought he bought his coat, because I would have no idea. I wouldn't even know what I would have
said. Are
there
still stores you can go to? Because online, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know you go to a store online, but like that's, you know.
I would not have known what to say.
Yeah, yeah. I like that from Harmon, about because like Gabe Davis was in my head. I did a radio hit with CBS Sports Radio right after our show Friday, and I was already, by then they'd made the pick. I'm like, it's blocking, and it's big body, and it's Gabe Davis. I like that Matt there is, you know, he goes in hard on these guys, and that there are areas where Coleman outshines Davis in some of his shortcomings, and I'm glad to hear that.
Much earlier draft pick, so you
of course,
like
you'd
to
expect
think so.
There to be more talent there. Yeah.
To the phones again, 803-0550. John is next. Hello, John.
How you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I think Brandon Bean has actually put us in a position to rebuild. I don't think he had a good draft, and I think he screwed the team up with the cap money. And now he's paying for it because we don't have a number one or number two receiver. I'll hang up.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Appreciate the call. I don't know. I mean, their cap situation was bad. There's no question about that. A couple of big misses, notably Von Miller. And then, of course, they chose to make the move on Diggs, which made their cap situation even worse. You might end up being right. Like, in the end, I don't know. We'll see, I guess, what it sounds like in January or February, whenever this all comes to a close, the 2024 NFL season. We had to take our medicine and it was sort of a step back year or whatever. Maybe we'll all decide whether that was the case or not, depending on whether they win 9 or 12 games, along the way. But I don't believe in stepping back and rebuilding when Josh Allen is your quarterback. I think you have to do things a different way, but there should be no like hesitation to me to like try to keep contending. And I don't think they sound that way. Some of the fans do. I guess we'll see how it all comes out. But I have no patience for we're kind of taking the year off.
Well, I mean, I don't need to preach on this now. Like we're talking about what they did on the weekend. If a team does how the Bills have been doing it for the last 3 years because they're close to a championship, is it really their fault? Are we not aware that at some point there are consequences to the contract extensions and, you know, the restructuring and all the different things? Eventually you get there, and the Bills kind of got there, except for Diggs, and that's going to be the one, because it doesn't necessarily make sense, Diggs. Like, what else happened? You didn't have to trade him because of his football. And you didn't want to trade him because of his money. Like, that was bad for you. So what else happened? And that may or may not ever become clear, and maybe there'll be different sides to it. But did they trade Stephon Diggs because they thought they were in rebuilding mode? I don't think so. I think they traded him because there was conflict, and that it had been there a long time, and there were so many different people alluding to it and referring to it, and they just said enough already. And they traded him to a team that might have about as good a chance of winning as they do, even. So that's the one that's different. You know, of course Hyde and Poyer were going. Of course Trey White. A lot of these were obvious, you know, or just sort of, if not obvious, they made sense. Like, a fan has to know that. Right. Eventually, you have to do that.
The Diggs thing never, but, all offseason, until it happened, it never made sense to move him with that amount of dead money in 1 year, and considering where your roster was at.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't think there was conflict, or, you know, somebody could think, no, they traded him because they're going to take a step back this year or anything like that. I don't think like you said, they're not talking like that. I don't think they're thinking like that. I think they can win anyway. I think they think they can win anyway. I mean, I would agree. But it's probably going to be harder, especially after what hasn't happened here since that trade. Zach is next. Hi, Zach.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm glad you're talking about Diggs here, because, I mean, I'm glad about the Keon Coleman pick. I like him just fine. I think, you know, I really warmed up to him after that presser and watching some highlights of his. But, you know, I leave the weekend thinking, like, really? Is that all we're going to do here? Like, was Brandon Bean serious when he had said, you know, a month or two ago, like, you know, we don't feel the need to have a number one receiver on this team, or whatever his words were, you know, especially coming after, like, this weekend, you know, you trade Stephon Diggs and you lose Gabe Davis, which I guess is, you know, whatever. But you trade Stephon Diggs and your answer right now is Keon Coleman and what? I mean, you're going to pick up, I mean, just throw your name out there.
It's Curtis Samuel, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just doesn't seem like enough to me, I guess. Yep. And, you know, I they could put Spencer Brown at receiver and I'd feel confident in the team. I'm a fan, obviously, but it just doesn't seem like, I don't know, I'm optimistic, but quite pessimistically so, I suppose, if that's the best word for it here.
All right. You think about that.
Pessimistically thanks. Optimistic.
Thanks, Zach. Here's Jeff next. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm kind of like the last caller. When they traded Diggs, I really thought that there was going to be another receiver moved, or, yeah. You know, another guy brought in. And then you have a historically deep draft, like historically. And we come out of it with one guy who could be the next Kelvin Benjamin. You know, like, he may not be, but, you know, he certainly isn't a shoe-in to be replacing our top two, you know, receivers this year. And I just think that in the fourth round or something like that, when you can utilize your need in this draft for drafting depth at wide receiver, we could have been taking four or five of them instead of trying to find the next Jonathan Linton.
Boy, are you loaded for bear here, Benjamin and Linton? Come on!
I don't understand is as far as you guys are talking about maybe changing their style of play. Miami trades up in that round and gets a guy who had more 70-yard rushes than anybody else in college football, and then with the pick after ours, the Niners get the fastest running back in the draft, and we're trying to. I mean, don't we have him on the team? The guy we got from the Jets last year. We're sort of looking for a slow plotting, like, we want a guy who, when you hand the ball off, you're not going to get the ball back until it's in the end zone. We don't have a guy that you never see him again until he's in the end zone. We can find somebody to catch a couple passes out of the backfield in the fourth round of the deepest wide receiver draft in the last 10 years when that's our biggest need. I mean, I just don't understand this. I really don't. And now I really don't think there's another move coming, because if you listen to Brandon Bean, he kind of says, you know what, my players are on the court, you know, I don't know. It's kind of disappointing with, you know, how things transpired this weekend, I think.
It's the easy, thanks, Jeff. Likewise, it's the easiest thing for me to poke holes in. Like, you really laid it out. That there wasn't a second receiver picked with all those extra picks on Saturday. And, you know, two trade downs, by the way. I know you needed other players, and they drafted a lot of other players. But it's almost, or is it? I was going to say it's almost shocking. It's not, I guess it can't be that shocking if it's kind of their MO for the last years almost.
I think, the two things together, I think when we parted company on Friday night, I'm pretty sure I think I talked like this. I hope I did. I didn't think they would make all 10 of those picks because I thought they would use some of the stuff from Saturday to try to get back in on Friday or move up on Saturday to get another receiver, to grab a guy. So I was definitely of the mind going into Friday night. They hadn't even made the Coleman pick yet, but they're okay. You know, fine. One of the easiest sells for me on accepting the trade down to begin with is if I double dip, because that idea always appealed to me. Now you've got a third round pick, and hopefully you can find your way to taking two shots at this and really, you know, supplementing what's a weak position group on a team that has an animal playing quarterback for it. So, like, let's go.
not only did they not get a second receiver, but they used all the picks on just on guys. And I did not expect that at all. So that doesn't have to make it a horrible idea. I just, as it was unfolding, I already said this earlier, like fourth round comes, here comes a running back, and then I'm watching fifth round. No. Is everybody gone? Everybody's gone. Great. What are we doing? I was pretty bummed out that I didn't grab a second guy. Receiver, I mean.
With the first pick of the seventh round, the Bills picked a player from England who plays rugby. Four picks later, the Chargers picked Jerry Rice's son. Like, it was still all the way even to round seven. Brendan Rice was somebody that had his fans, not just because of his last name. I mean, I don't want to sound like the guy that knows how this is going to go, because I'm very much not that guy. I know that you can't know that. But, damn.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Everybody's saying it. Who is going to lead the Bills in catches? How many? Is it James Cook? I mean, that's not great. Is it Curtis Samuel? I've liked Curtis Samuel a lot. I don't know. What's his big year?
His big year's with Cam Newton, like what feels like a football lifetime ago.
With Joe Brady, but yeah. It's not even really that big.
Right.
Like, it's good.
Yeah.
Maybe it's rookie Keon Coleman. Maybe that's a lot to ask. Maybe it's Dalton Kincaid, who's a tight end. Quote, yep. Tight end. I don't know. Like, it's baffling a little bit. Maybe it's not shocking, but it's baffling. 803-0550. I'll take another crack at figure out what word I want when we return. Sal Capaccio in 20 minutes. This is WGR. Welcome back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. The draft is behind us. Sal Capaccio joins us in about 15 minutes with his thoughts. And we'll be looking for your calls before and after. 803-0550 is the number. Let's go to Brian next. Go ahead, Brian.
Hey, guys. So, yeah, I think player by player, if you look at the grades, yeah, it's reasonable to give the Bills a B. I mean, they took players in approximately the slots that most people had them predicted in for whatever that's worth. So a B makes sense. For me, you look at it, the big picture view, this is an F, a gigantic F. I mean, this team drafts like Josh Allen isn't their quarterback. I mean, and to me, the line of demarcation started when they brought in Emmanuel Sanders to be number two, because he had already been talking about retirement when they signed him. And so sure enough, he gets to about game six or seven, and he's out of gas. If you look at the game logs, he's out of gas. And then ever since then, every year they get less and less potent. So Cole Beasley and John Brown age out. They go. Then they come back, and then they go again. And then you take another step down. Then you're into the McKenzie era. And then last year with the Crowder era, and then Sherfield and Hardy. And now we're down to, you know, can KJ Hamler suddenly be good? I think that's one thing. So this draft, I lost all faith in Bean and McDermott to really build a top flight offense again, at least from what, you know, the rest of the league thinks is dangerous. And we talk about all this value for trading down. Okay, wow. Bean, he got his third round pick. What did we turn it into? A rotational defensive tackle from Duke. Cool. And meanwhile, the Dolphins get the 4-3-8 running back. The 49ers get the 4-3-3 running back. And then tick by tick by tick, Franklin goes off the board. Baker goes off the board. You didn't even get Flournoy. You know, Cowboys took him right before your pick. So I leave it with this, is that, you know, we talk about a lot of times, you know, he isn't worth the money and he isn't worth the draft picks. Listen, if teams are willing to give you a shot at T. Higgins or, you know, Ayuk, as remote as those chances can be, you know, Deebo Samuel was rumored a lot. Just take the player and pay the player. The money can be removed around. These picks are worthless. You're getting backup guards in the sixth round. Meanwhile, good receivers are still up and they're just going off the board. This team acts like Josh Allen is not their quarterback. There's no vertical speed. How in 2024 do you have a 6'5 quarterback with a rocket arm, and there's not one guy since Robert Foster that can reliably get behind the defense? Diggs did it because he was their best all-around receiver, if it need to be said. But they have nobody who can take the top off of the defense. There's no playmaking on this team. They are slowest offense. And just when I thought, okay, maybe they can be a big team. Maybe that's what they're going for. Okay, cool. What about Johnny Wilson in the sixth? They could pair him up with his old teammate Coleman, and then you have Shorter. Boom, you have a big bully ball type team. And no, we don't even do that. We take a backup linebacker from Washington, who's another 25-year-old. It's an F. They act like Josh Allen is just going to – I guess he's going to have to play perfect in these playoff games. And then if he throws a pick, he'll be criticized.
Okay. It was time to wrap that up.
Yeah, but I appreciate the viewpoint. I mean, you know, you're getting to like the sixth or seventh guy on the depth chart when you're citing the receiver, you know, you choose to name. But I agree more with that than I would like to admit. I don't know where. I've been in here for 5 years. Speed. And they've never really done it, and they still haven't. And the opportunity to do it was here again, and they chose to go a different route. And so I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to build or how I'm trying to build it, but I'm starting to get concerned. My pushing back against your assertion that this is McDermott's vision, he wants, you know, run heavier. I felt like got sawed off this weekend. They did nothing to me that indicates that they want to get back to that being their fastball. I'm not sure what they think their fastball is going to be right now, but I'm a little scared of what it might be.
Got Sal coming up. Sal has been pointing back to all the explosive plays talk from the Bills after the season ended. I wonder, like, how well he thinks they satisfied that, you know, that need. Here's Mike with us quickly first. Hi, Mike.
How are we doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good. I had a quick thought. I mean, I have to disagree with the guy a little bit from before. I thought he was a little harsh. and Bills fans in general are getting, I think, a little just – they're not really giving much love to Curtis Samuel. I mean, I know the guy's not a number one. He's not a Diggs. But he ain't no bum either. And I think it's pretty clear the Bills want to spread the ball out. Your speed's in the backfield. And I know a lot of Josh Allen people, like, you know, we got Josh Allen, we got to throw the ball. But, you know, you do have James Cook back there. And it's not a bad idea to be using him obviously in spreading the ball out more. But I just all the act, you know, the lack of love for Samuel is kind of surprising. And I was just curious what you guys thought.
I like Samuel. I think it's a lot to ask him to be, well, for one thing, at his like career best level, which goes back 5 years now. And I also have said a few times, I feel like the kind of talk that you hear when a team starts to mention how many different looks they can come up with is more of a bad sign. You know, like the best teams in sports, they kind of just, you kind of just know when they still beat you. And this team has been more like that, where we're not trying to fool you. In fact, that'd be maybe more of a criticism of their losses in the playoffs than anything, because Diggs didn't really get fed. And why are we, quote, overthinking this, right? Easy to say that. So I like Samuel, and he's fast, but I doubt he controls a game here. You know, like, I don't think... I would, however, quickly to say, echo your sentiment about the overall right now. Like, let's give them some credit for what they've built here in the last 4 years, plus seven. They have had a lot to endure this year with age and losses. And then you have the Diggs thing was not exactly the same. But they deserve some benefit of the doubt. Even with, I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, Jonathan Linton, and Robert Foster in the last 20 minutes. People are going hard.
They're digging in. Yeah.
We're digging in.
And that's the audience.
That's not us.
Why are you guys so negative?
I mean, you pulled out some names here. Sal Capaccio after the update here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.